Holy Spirit is a powerful force that helps us to do what is fine. Are you promoting the operation of Holy Spirit in your life? How can you do so? Please pay careful attention to the talks, demonstration, and interviews in the three-part symposium entitled Keep Sowing to the Spirit. Each speaker will introduce the one to follow. Brother Gary Bailey will present the first talk. His theme is Keep Sowing to the Spirit, Develop Good Study Habits.
So as the chairman mentioned, that the title of this symposium is Sow with a View to Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean, to sow with a view to Holy Spirit? Well, we'll answer that in a moment, but first invite you to open to a scripture. Now, we've read this already today, Galatians 6 and 8. But you know, the more times we do this, you'll find it easier to remember. So Galatians 6 and 8. And see if you can pick out the contrast here. So let's read that, Galatians 6 and 8. It says, because the one sowing with a view to his flesh will reap corruption from his flesh, but the one sowing with a view to the Spirit will reap everlasting life from the Spirit. So did you notice the contrast there? Well, you know, so what does it mean then to live our life in view of the Spirit? Well, it means that we're going to live our life that allows Holy Spirit to operate freely in our lives, helping us to manifest this fruitage in our life. The fruitage of the Spirit, you remember them, like love, joy, peace, ones like faith, ones like self-control. So we need to have this as part of our life. And what is the benefit of living a certain way to the Spirit? Well, notice that contrast there, everlasting life. So this symposium then will explore three ways that we can sow to the Spirit. One, developing good study habits. Two, using Bible principles to guide our lives. And three, giving priority to the ministry by not letting our hands rest. So in each of these parts, please take note of the good results that we can expect to see if we sow with a view to the Spirit. So the first one then, how to develop good study habits. So to begin with, if I could ask you a question. Do you like to study? Well, let's say there was three possible answers. What box would you check? A, no, because I have no free time. Or B, no, because I find it boring. It's so hard to understand. Or C, yes, I like to study. I find it refreshing and comforting. Well, hopefully some of you answered C, but the reality of it is that because of the time period that we live, maybe some of our answers would have been A or B. Well, let's see if we can change some of your answers. There's no question about it. Study involves effort. You know, we could illustrate it this way. You know, you've all probably been there. You're driving along the road in a mountain park, and you see a sign, viewpoint, off to the right. Stop the car, get your family out, get your backpack on, and away you go. So after five steps, you stop, look around, and say, well, where is it? But then you come to realize that after multiple steps, and many of them are higher elevation, you come to a breathtaking viewpoint. And then you say to yourself, boy, was that ever worth the effort? So you see, we have to put a good deal of effort into the things that we study. So then what is study? Well, it's more than just superficial reading. You know, that superficial reading can be likened to those first five steps that an individual took on that hike. So we want to do more than that, don't we? You know, really study, really it's using your mental faculties and careful or extended consideration of a subject, including in analyzing what you read, taking the contents and circumstances into consideration. That helps with understanding, doesn't it? And then we make a little bit of comparison with things that you already know. Take note of the reason given in the statements. And of course, we want to, you know, maybe ponder the ones that are a little bit new to us. Consider how I might apply some of the scriptural counsel more fully. And you know, a good goal to have is, do I know the information that I'm studying well enough that I could tell somebody else, that I could teach someone else? Well, a good goal to have. Obviously, study involves meditation, which means you must revisit that thought. You must think about it later. And you know, meditation also would include maybe going back to reading that scripture that you read, or maybe that article that you read. You see, if you don't meditate, ponder, or go back and consider those things, the way our minds is, it, we find it easy to forget, and we forget very quickly. But then if we meditate, we'll develop that habit of trying to remember that. And you know, you can do that with scriptures too. So one thing for sure is, it takes effort, but we don't want to give up. Notice what the proverb encourages. I encourage you to open your Bible, and we're going to read Proverbs 2, 3 to 5. And notice what it tells us there. So Proverbs 2, 3 to 5. It says there, "Moreover, if you call out for understanding and raise your voice for discernment, if you keep seeking for it as for silver, and you keep searching for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Jehovah, and you will find the knowledge of God." So then the proverb there is talking about effort, similar to that. If you were actually literally looking for a treasure, it would take a lot of work, a lot of effort, wouldn't it? So it's the same with our study. But notice there it says that if we look for understanding and discernment, with those two ingredients, we'll come to understand the fear of God. You know, interesting, the fear of God. How many times is that recorded for us in the Bible? Many, many times. But only then will we be able to understand the knowledge of God. And as I said, this will take effort. But you might ask, how can I enhance my desire? Because maybe I just lack a little bit of desire to study. Well, think of this. Our effort is motivated by our love for our Heavenly Father. And of course, the desire to draw closer to Him. Isn't that what motivated Christ Jesus? You know, He was motivated heavily because of love to do God's will. We can be the same. In time, study will strengthen our desire to be a good student of the Bible. In turn, this will enhance our love for God. So work hard to maintain a routine of daily Bible reading and meditation. And you know, if you struggle to find time, remember that even brief bits of periods of study and meditation can draw us closer to the God we serve. And you know, we always have suggestions given by the Faithful Slave and some of our articles. One that comes to mind is the 2017 number one Watchtower. Talked about things that we can do to enhance our study. One was create the right surroundings. So try and find a setting that's quiet. Yes, that might mean you'll have to turn the TV off. We want to minimize distractions, so that we can concentrate on what we're reading. Good lighting is good, fresh air is good, so that we can get the most out of what we are reading. And you know, too soft a chair just doesn't work. Second is having the right frame of mind. Since the Bible is from our Heavenly Father, you will benefit the most if you have the attitude of a young child who is ready to learn from a loving parent. And if you've had any negative or preconceived ideas about the Bible or even about study, try to set them aside so that Jehovah, through His Spirit, can teach you. We want to also pray before we study, before we read. Ask Jehovah to prepare our heart. Remember, Ezra of old did that. We know the Bible contains God's thoughts, so it's not surprising that we need His help to understand it. God promises to give Holy Spirit to those asking. The Holy Spirit can help you to understand God's thinking. And we want to read to understand. We don't want to read just to cover the material. actively think about what you were reading. Ask yourself questions. Well, what do I learn from the individual that I'm reading about? What qualities do I glean from the account, or maybe even from Jehovah? And what qualities can I apply in my own life? And of course, it's always good to have that goal. We individually want to become better students of the Bible. And you know, we need to make it a practice to study even the deeper things of God. So don't let that word, deeper things of God, drive you away. The expression, deep things of God, includes understanding of God's wisdom that is revealed to Christians by Holy Spirit. And you know, think of this. The Holy Spirit doesn't help people in the world to understand God's thinking. It helps us. So we're blessed with Jehovah's Holy Spirit. With Holy Spirit comes understanding. Understanding not only what we believe, but why we believe a particular thing. Why, the reason why behind our belief. Maybe this could be considered as some of the deeper things of God, but certainly as we grasp these things, it sure strengthens our faith and our confidence. Understanding why Jehovah asked us, Jehovah's people, to live a certain way fortifies our resolve to be obedient, to follow his direction. Therefore, the knowledge of the deep things can give us strength to resist the temptations that to engage in this lawless world that's around us, and to move us to be more active or zealous in fine works. And of course, when we use the word fine works, we know what we're talking about. So understanding the deep things requires study. We come to realize these deep things are not too difficult to understand after all, because we have leaned upon God's Spirit. You know, Ephesians 3:18, we really don't have time to read it, but Paul mentioned there that we need to comprehend the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the truth. So what's that all about? You know, we could illustrate this way. Remember, we want to understand what we read. We want to understand the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. So say someone give you a picture, a beautiful picture. He says, you sit down and read and study this picture. And then after you analyze it, tell me what you think. So would you just look at it and say, nice picture, and hand it back? Probably not. You'd probably go sit at your desk and, you know, he said length, the width, the height, the depth. So maybe you'd even take that picture and measure it. Oh, it's 5x7. You'd maybe analyze the type of wood. Oh, it's birch wood. And the picture, it's a beautiful picture of paradise. There's people in the front, there's a banquet going on, and you see a bunch of animals. And then you look in the, look deeply, and you see yourself in the background there playing with the animals. And so we need to apply that illustration to our study. We need to know the depth, the height, the length, and the breadth of what we are teaching and what we are learning. And so we can do this, can't we? So if we were to ask ourselves, can we do that? Well, if I was to answer that question for you, I would say, yes, I think we can do that. And you know, sometimes it's good to reflect on and imitate certain Bible characters. They're a good example when it comes to study and also the way they live their life. One example was Mary. She was a lady of strong faith, strong determination. Yeah, true, Mary retained thoughts. She was spoke to by an angel, but she's also spoke to by other spiritual people. She stored these spiritual sayings in her heart. She meditated upon it, and she was able to draw certain conclusions. Mary thought deeply about God's word, and of course, that was reflected in her speech and the actions that she manifested as she lived her life. Really demonstrated that she had a real depth of the faith. We can be like that. If we meditate on what we read in the Bible, contemplate ways that we can apply Jehovah's counsel more fully, we will give our faith the nourishment that it needs to grow. We know that Jehovah has filled pages of his word with spiritual truths. However, these truths will do us little good unless we take them from God's Word, the Bible, and we have them imprinted on our heart. That way, we'll be able to pay attention to the information. But the bottom line is, we don't want you to give up. Keep going. And if you're a parent, you have come to know that you have an obligation to train up your children, and you have to train them how to study. But if you're not a good student of the Bible yourself, it's a bit hard to accomplish that task, isn't it? So we have to be a good student of the Bible. Some essentials for young ones of study would include how to read, how to concentrate, how to sit for a short period of time, how to compare, and even how to review the information. Training starts at a very young age. Adjust your approach to match the age and attention span of your children. You'll find that your young ones, maybe at a very young age, want you to read them a story. Maybe you've already picked up the Bible storybook, and maybe this is even before they can speak much or even read on their own, but they keep pointing to the story and they want you to read it again. Well, you know, indulge them. Continue to do that. That way they will learn how to read, they'll understand the meaning of words, and the bottom line is, we want our young ones to grow up to be spiritually minded people and to develop a good relationship with the God that we serve. And you know, many of you have been parents for a long time, and your Johnny or your Jane have moved out. And how do you feel when they continue now to make the truth their own because of your efforts in the past? Maybe you think of Proverbs 22 and 6. So let's turn there. That's Proverbs 22 and 6. I'm sure that all parents that have their young ones leave the nest know all about this scripture. And what does it say there? It says, train a boy in the way that he should go. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. So we know the benefits are many by training our young ones. They will be more successful in school because of your training. They will be more successful in the work when they get to that point. They'll be more successful in human relations. They will be more successful in understanding the world in which we live. And of course, our training at a young age, they will develop a very close love between a child and parent. And of course, between the God that we all worship. And of course, what will be the greatest benefit of all? Yes, everlasting life. So now we're going to interview a couple of parents that are reaping the benefits from family worship. Sister Rachel Montrell from the Pinoca Congregation and Brother Lonnie Billington from the Primrose Congregation. I know, Rachel, that you certainly have not had an easy life because the responsibility of raising your young ones has basically come upon your own shoulders yourself. But certainly, I'm sure that you can relate to that proverb that I just talked about, that you can receive great comfort from what has happened. You know, Rachel has two of her offspring have left the nest. Both of them are serving as regular pioneers. And the youngest at home was on the platform earlier today and was baptized last regional. So certainly good to see. So Rachel, if I could ask you some questions. The first one, how do you keep your family worship regular?
Family worship has always been an anchor point in our week, a guaranteed time where despite whatever stresses we're dealing with, we can spend time together and be mutually upbuilt and focus on God's love for us and the organization's love for us. So it helps that we all look forward to it. And by keeping it on the same day each week, and I tend to have it around the family meal because we're already gathered together and feeling relaxed.
Okay, thank you then. And the second one, how do you make sure that family worship is practical, is beneficial, and is interesting?
We try to follow the governing body's example of using variety, and so it can be from games to music to deeper study material. And generally we try to talk about it earlier in the week so I can get a sense of what particular needs might be or ideas for topics. And that way, they're involved in the preparation and research, and that builds enthusiasm too.
And tell us, what do you consider each week?
In recent months, after the death of my daughter, the topic of the reality of the resurrection and going over the brochure when someone you love dies has been really important for me and my son.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sister Montrell. Certainly you're an inspiration to all of us. And Brother Lonnie Billington, you two have two teenage children that are progressing very well in the truth. So maybe we could ask you the same questions. So what do you do to keep your family worship regular?
Well, Brother Bailey, it's not easy. It requires a lot of effort. But I think, you know, not allowing things to interfere with that time slot, unless it might be a change in the meeting schedule, other congregation commitments, but making sure that it starts with me. So I don't allow anything to be planned in that time period. And then eventually it becomes a habit. And once it's a habit, it starts to get easier. So you just continue to do it over and over again.
Okay, and how do you make sure that your family worship is practical, interesting, and beneficial?
Well, my children are 2 years apart, so most things that are practical for one are practical for both. So that helps a lot. But it starts with listening to them. When they come home from school, listen to the conversations. Find out what they're dealing with at school, maybe what subjects they're having problems with. Maybe it's a theory that's being taught at school that they're going to need to defend their faith. So we have to make sure that we're listening carefully to our children and preparing them for whatever they might face in the ministry.
Okay. So thank you very much, Brother Billington. We appreciate those greatly. So, you know, we will reap the rewards of developing good study habits. And so then if we can develop good study habits, Jehovah will give us wisdom that we can use, yes, we can use to praise him forever.